Welcome to Salvation by Grace, a broadcast ministry of Grace Christian Assembly, a Sovereign Grace Fellowship in Smyrna, Tennessee. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at www.salvationbygrace.org. Now let's join our teacher, Jim McLarty.
O'clock this morning, after having a wonderful evening last night. I've had a wonderful week this week. You're going to get to hear one of my favorite preachers this morning. You got a woohoo from somebody.
I was looking at the door to see if
they haven't even heard you and they woohooed. Yeah. But you know what? He's one of my just dear friends. The affection that I have for Elder Marlon Tillman. I'm going to do this a lot this morning.
I am too.
He and I this week spent three wonderful days, as Daryl did. You were there at least
two.
Two days. Marlon came in from Cleveland. Daryl came in from Buffalo, right? So that we could gather in Chattanooga this week. Yeah, long drive. And yet decided to stay over the weekend and drive to Smyrna to be here this morning. So he gets the prize this morning for longest distance. And I will point out that he was probably on time. Okay. So we got to spend this week with collectively our pastor. Let me say that this morning when Elder Tillman is up here preaching, I was going to say you need to love him and treat him the way you would treat me. And then I thought, don't do that. No, you need to treat him better than you've treated me.
Treat him like company.
Treat him like company.
How is DJ?
See, I knew you'd ask. I'm up here tearing up, and I knew you were going to ask how Elder Ward was.
Never mind. I'm sorry I
asked. I've met, see if I can get through this, I've met maybe three, maybe four extraordinary people in my life. I've met a lot of good people, likable people, have a lot of friends, met a lot of people I've loved through the years. And then every once in a while, when God's good to you, he lets you meet somebody extraordinary. Who raises the bar of what is possible in Christianity and raises it so high that it breaks your heart and makes you cry, makes you throw your hands in the air, makes you sing, makes you shout hallelujah and you can't help yourself. And that's what we've been doing for the last 3 days, isn't it? That's what we've been doing. 6 months ago, the doctors gave Elder 3 months. The cancer is running through his lung. Monday, he was, I'm just going to tell you so you understand, but Monday, he was too sick to eat, couldn't keep any food in. 26 pills a day, did he say he was taking? Yes. The cancer is inoperable, no radiation, nothing. Some of the medicines that he's taking, in a relatively healthy person, it causes crippling arthritis. He's already arthritic, and he's taking these pills. He shared stories with us this week about what he's been through. And he would have been completely within his rights to say to all those preachers and pastors that gathered in Chattanooga, "I'm sick, I can't be there." Tuesday, he was spitting up blood coming up out of his lung. Wednesday, he was in Chattanooga. I'll describe it this way. I went up to him Thursday afternoon. I don't know that I've ever kissed any man as much as I've kissed that man, but we all did. We all just wanted to show our love and affection, but I went over and I kissed him on the forehead and I said, "Well, that was a lesson in humility." And he said, "How so?" And I said, because you can throw cancer on the man and force him to sit in a chair and he'll still out-preach me on my best day. That's what it was like. He was remarkable. And poured out his heart, but not just poured out his heart, talked about God. Exalted Christ. Told us all, don't raise up your heroes too high. We're just men with feet of clay. So I got to be with friends this week, men that I just dearly love. If you go to the website, sovereigngracebibleconference.org, which Andrew Doss has created, if you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful site, done a good job on it. And everybody at the conference was all compliments and all happiness about the website, so that's great. And if you go there in a couple days, you'll get to see pictures, and there will be MP3 of the night teaching there. Let me encourage you to go to sovereigngracebibleconference.org, and sometime in the next couple weeks, the messages from this week's night teaching by Dr. Skeppel will be up there. You're just doing yourself a disservice if you don't go listen to him. One of the best consistent exegetes of Scripture I've heard, and you know me, I'm a fool for exegesis. The kind of preaching I am involved in, promote, and like is that kind of preaching that says, what does the Word say? Last year when I took Jeff with me and he heard Elder Skeppel, Jeff said, what is that? What? Where'd that? Oh. So Jeff got in the car Friday night with a few of the men here. Mike went up and they got in the car and drove Friday night to hear Elder Skeppel again. He just really is that good an exegete. And it makes me so happy to hear other men out there preaching what we preach, believing what we believe, talking about the God we talk about, and saying, it's because it's right here in the Word. It's right here in the Word, just breaking out the Word, and here it is. So go there and listen to him. I know you'll enjoy that. I began by saying 4 o'clock this morning. 4 o'clock this morning, everything I've ever eaten in my life left my body. I won't go into any more detail than that. It's just that it all decided to leave at once. And so 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock came, and by 7 o'clock I'm laying on the floor in the bathroom going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got to go be at, I want to go be at church. I got to, Marlon's preaching. I got to go to church. And it was no excuse that I've been at church all week. I had to be at GCA this morning. I got to go to church. And I called Jeff and I said, oh, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. And Jeff said, it's psychosomatic. It's all in your head. And I said, that's not the part of my body that's the problem. That ain't it. I don't know if what I've got is a stomach bug or just some kind of food poisoning, but I can't believe I'm about to say this statement. I'm rooting for food poisoning. Yeah, that's what we're all rooting for. That's what everybody here is rooting for. And listen, I appreciate your affection and your love. Don't hug me this morning, okay? And then if I have to, I'm just going to sneak out, but I'm not sneaking anywhere. If I have to, I'm going to sneak to that bathroom and back. That's what I'm going to do, and I want to hear Marlon Tillman preach. So here's the story real briefly. You just met Daryl a moment ago.
Hi,
Daryl. Hi, Daryl. Yeah. Daryl and Elder Tillman were at the conference 3.5 years ago when I preached He is Sovereign. And in the midst of preaching that message, as I am wont to do, I promoted the website. Shameless plug. It was a shameless plug repeatedly. It was a shameless plug. I wanted to make sure everybody got it. And so to hear Elder Tillman tell the story, he said he went back to work, and he works with Daryl. Well, when they were both in Buffalo, they worked together. And he went back, and apparently Daryl said to him, have you been to Elder McLarty's website? And you said, if I recall, who? I was memorable. I had left a permanent impression in his mind and heart. Elder who? And Daryl took out a stack of CDs and said, I've been taking stuff off the website. You need to listen. So in God's great providence, 3.5 years later, Daryl and Marlon Tillman are here at GCA with us, and Marlon's going to stand up and preach for Elder who? Who is... And in God's good providence, on a morning when I'm probably too weak to stand up here much longer, God sent us a preacher.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know what he's planning to preach when I talked to him this morning and said, I don't know. I don't think I can be. I'm going to try to be there. I don't know. And I said, Marlon, I don't know what you're going to talk about. I don't know what you're going to preach. I said, but I know this. It's going to be about God, and Christ is going to be exalted.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know what your text is, but I know what the content is.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to the church.
Good morning.
Truly, it is an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning. I think I've told God I've been waiting on this moment for a long time. How often I've mentioned to Elder McLarty that I just want to come be a part of a GCA service. And as a matter of fact, this week I told him, I said, you know, Elder, I'll be fine. Just leave me in my seat right there. I just want to come in and just sit and listen to you teach God's word. But he would have none of that. He wouldn't have any of that. But I am so grateful to be here, guys. I almost feel like I'm home. I really do. You guys don't know how much I listen and read and how many times I've made copies of Q&As and handed them out to everyone that I come in contact with. This place holds a special, special place in my heart. I told Elder that no man that I've met has influenced my theology more than Elder McLarty.
Amen.
Amen.
No man. I have men who I admire and men that I love, but no man has influenced my theology more than Elder McLarty. The way he brings out the scripture is just really, really amazing and yet very simplistic. And I just love him for that. I really pattern what it is I try to do after his style. I don't want to make it too complicated. I want to make it where everybody can get it. And I really do appreciate that, Elder. I really do. And on a personal note, it's just amazing how God will put someone in your life when things are okay. And then when times get a little hard, you can call on that person and they'll listen. And not only will they listen, they'll give you words of wisdom. And over the last 6 months, Elder McLarty has been that person for me. When real life happens, I'm not one of those proponents of the prosperity gospel. I believe sometimes real life happens. And he has been a dear friend, and I've been able to cry and dump everything that has happened in my life over the last 6 months right there on his lap. And I say it's amazing because I found out that some of the very things that happened to me happened to him. And God did that for him just so he could help me when I went through. And I'm so grateful and thankful for him for that. It's just nice to have somebody you can call on who understands what you're going through. And I thank you, Elder, I really do. But okay, enough of that. We said we weren't gonna do too much of that. Thank you for the song service as well. Somebody mentioned It Is Well With My Soul. That is my favorite hymn. I pointed over to Elder and said, we have to sing verse 3 again. We have to sing verse 3 again. Oh my goodness gracious, I just love that hymn so much. And I don't know if you guys know the story behind the hymn. Elder, you've told the story of Horatio Safir. Oh, that's just such a great, great story and how you can go through that and yet write those beautiful words. And
we have kids in the room who might not know. Tell the story.
And I'm sure I won't tell it as great as you do. You are such a great storyteller, as I found out last night. But from my understanding, he lost 4 of his daughters, I believe, in a boating accident. The ship was a shipwreck, and he lost 4 of his daughters. His wife and daughters were on the boat, but I don't believe his wife passed away. I believe he lost his 4 daughters. And they took him out on a boat to the spot where that boat went down. And he wrote those words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way."
Thank you, Jesus.
And I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can do that. So although the hymns are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, you can tell they're inspired by the Word of God. There's no question about that. And, you know, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I don't have to bear it anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to hold myself back here, trying to hold myself down. But thank you for singing that this morning. And then for Elder McLarty to sing Amazing Grace. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about God's amazing grace. So if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, and while you're turning, turn to Leviticus chapter 26. And I have to make a shout out. I don't know if you guys do that or not, but that's I want to acknowledge some people who aren't here. And then I want to acknowledge somebody who is here. I want to acknowledge my wife, Stephanie, and my two little ones, Megan and Gabrielle, who are home in Cleveland. They couldn't be with me today. I just want to say hello to them. And please pray for Daddy. Daddy's really nervous. Daddy's really nervous. So. And also to my good buddy, Daryl Sims, my friend. Guys, you don't know how many hours I spent in his office listening to Elder McLarty and you guys on CD. I've gotten in trouble at work because I spent too much time in his office listening to those. When my breaks were over, I still was in the office listening to the CDs. So I'm just grateful that he would even make the trip. I mean, thanks, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Leviticus chapter 26, and we'll begin reading at, this is always the hard part. Where do you begin reading? We will begin reading at verse 40. We're going to look at verse 44 today, but I want to begin reading at verse 40 of Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40 begins, "If they shall confess their iniquities and their iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath, while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorreth my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses." Let us pray. Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come out to your house and sing praises unto your name and glorify your holy and righteous name. Thank you that you have called us together at this particular time and this particular place that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, it is that time now where you glorify yourself through the preaching of your word. Shine your light all around this place. Hide me in that light that those here and those that are listening may see the glory of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And if it is your will, save today, Lord. If someone comes crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Let us say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." We'll continue to give your name honor, glory, and praise. You alone are worthy of it. Bless our time together here. All these things we ask you for and all these things we thank you for. In the name of your darling Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 26, 44, "And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. I very rarely put titles because, you know, titles on messages don't really mean anything. But this particular scripture here just brought up to my mind, I'm still amazed by his grace. I'm still amazed by his grace. You know, I think one of the biggest problems in our world today is overstimulation. We are bombarded over and over and over with things, information all day long, 24 hours, everything. You know, we have 24 hour news, 24 hour sports, 24 hours weather, 24 hour cooking shows, home improvements. And she's not here, so I can say this. My wife's favorite, 24 hour shopping. You can sit in front of the television or the computer at 3 o'clock in the morning and do all your Christmas shopping. You can do, we're just so bombarded with information and opportunity that sometimes those things become dull to us. You know, 10 or 15 years ago or 20 years ago, now I'm not even quite sure, they laughed at Ted Turner when he said he was going to put on a 24-hour news station. Who's going to watch the news 24 hours? Nobody's laughing now. But think about what has happened because of that over the last 8 to 10 years. Just in our schools, I had a great lesson with Jeff and Jennifer last night about homeschooling. But think about what has happened in our schools since what has happened at Columbine, since what has happened at that Amish school in Pennsylvania, what happened at Northern Illinois not too long ago, or last year at Virginia Tech. We've become so bombarded with those images that they don't affect us anymore. And you know, I think that is really what has happened when we think about God's grace to us. We hear it over and over. We hear it every single Sunday. We read it daily in our Bible. Sometimes when we think about God's grace towards us, it becomes dull to us and we're no longer amazed by it. Right now, I'm going through the Bible chronologically, and that's a good way to start. As long as you're reading the Bible, it doesn't really matter which pattern you use. But I'm going through the Bible chronologically, and Genesis, oh, such great stories. In Exodus, oh my goodness, we find out how God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Oh, just such great stories. And I got to Leviticus, and I thought, oh boy. All these rules and all these laws, and what do you do if somebody steals your cow? And what do you do if if a man falls off your roof? And what do you do if someone has leprosy? How do you wash the clothes? Do you burn the clothes? And I just thought, ooh, Lord, really? Do I have to read this? And then I said, but you know, Lord, I know you placed it here for a reason. Obviously it's important. I have to read it. And I sat and I thought, you know, how can anybody keep all these rules? How can you keep, Lord? If a man falls off the roof, if he's working on my roof, I got to put, okay. If somebody steals my car, how do I keep every jot and tittle of these rules? But you know what I found out? God has every right to tell his people how they should live. Amen. And I thought, whew, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. There's not going to be much joy, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's in there and it's important, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And you know what I found out? There wasn't much joy in reading Leviticus. Because I found out, although I'm not under that, there's no possible way to keep it. But when I got to verse 44 of this particular chapter, there was a shout of hallelujah, because I found out the things that I need most are right there in this verse. And I have to say it again, brothers and sisters, I am still amazed by his grace. He says, and yet for all of that, so I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them. Well, the first question I had was, what is all that? What all what, Lord? All what? What are you talking about yet for all of that? Well, He told them if they didn't keep his law, the law of the land, no stone or no graven image on the land, and that every seventh year that land had to lay desolate, the land had to keep its Sabbath. These were the things he was going to do to them if they didn't keep these things. In verse 16, he tells them that there's going to be some distress. I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. He also says in verse 16 that there's going to be some persecution and the burning of ague, and they shall consume thy eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. In verse 19 and 20, he says, if you don't do this, there's going to be drought. He says in verse 20, and your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall yield not her increase, neither shall the trees of your land yield their fruits. In verse 22, he says, I'm going to send beasts among you. I will send the wild beast among you, which shall rob you and your children and destroy your cattle and make a few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. He says in verse 25, I'm going to send disease and pestilence. And I won't read them. In verse 29, he says, I'm going to send famine. And in verse 33, I'm going to disperse you throughout all the land. So when you read all that, you come to the realization that there seems to be no hope. There seems to be nothing that the nation or the children of Israel can get excited about because they have disobeyed God. But look at what God says. He says, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. God says, I will not terminate the relationship that I have with them. Even when it looks like God has left them, he says, no, I will not cast them away. Even when we find ourselves in that place, in that dark place where it seems like God is nowhere to be found, he says, I will not cast them away. He says, I will never leave you alone. No, never. See, we brothers and sisters, we stand on the promise made in Hebrews 13:5, where God says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For I have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. So even in our darkest hour, we can stand on God's promise that he will never leave us and nor forsake us. And I have to tell you guys, that's good news for me. That's good news to me because I'm prone to wander off. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I'm prone to not do those things that God has told me to do. I'm prone to do those things he's told me not to do. You know, I'm prone to wander off in search of what I think to be greener pastures. I'm never content where God has me. I always feel like there's something better over there. So I'm prone to wander off and do that. And yet he says, even when you do that, I will not cast you away. See, when I wander, what I'm really saying is, Lord, I don't think you really know what's best for me. When I wander off, I say, okay, Lord, I know this is where you really want me to be, but look over there. There seems to be greener grass over there. So I'm going to go over there in search of that greener grass. And what I'm really saying is, Lord, you don't really know what's best for me. That's exactly what the nation of Israel did. Lord, you don't really know what's best for us. So we're going to wander. We know we're supposed to let the land have its Sabbath on the seventh year. But you know what? We're still going to plant that seventh year because we need the increase to come up. Lord, you don't really know what's best for us. And God says, you know what? Even though you do that, and even though I'm going to send you into the land of your enemies just so the land can have its Sabbath, I will not cast you away. Although you have done this evil against me, he also says, I do not hate you. Now, to really understand the weightiness of that statement, you have to understand the nature of sin. See, the offense of sin in our world today has really lost its significance. Jeff was telling me last night about a preacher who was talking to unmarried men and talking about how they are to keep their bodies in celibacy. And the reason they should do that, because if they don't, that would cause some problems. But he never mentioned how it would be an offense unto God. That offense of God has lost its significance. Listen to what Aslam of Canterbury, who was named Archbishop of England in 1039, this is how he defines sin. And this is one of the great definitions of sin, I believe. It says, not to render his due to God. Nothing is less tolerable in the order of things than for the creature to take away the honor due to the Creator and not to repay what he takes away. See, that gives us an idea of the offense of sin, how it is an offense to God's holiness. God's justice must be served because we have sinned against him. Now, think about the weightiness of that statement and hear God say, even yet for all of that, I will not cast them away, neither will I hate them. God says, I won't hate you. Even though you've done this thing against me, I will not cast you away, even though you have not given me the honor that is due who I am. I am the Creator, God says, and you have not worshiped me as such. You have decided that you know what's best for you. And yet God says, you know what? Even in all that, I will not cast you away, nor I will not hate you. Now, when God says he will not hate you, I thought that is a lesson for me. See, my nature is to hate those who don't do things the way I like them done. My nature is to say, it would really be good, Elder, if you would play it the way I think you should play it. Amen. You need to pick it up a little bit on that song, Elder. No, I'm just kidding. But that's our nature. Our nature is to, well, you're not going to do it the way I want you to do it. So I don't really like the way you do it. And since I don't like the way you do it, I, what I'm really saying is I don't really like you that much. But notice the difference between our hatred and God's hatred. God's hatred would utterly destroy us. My hatred really just burns within me. It causes me to burn within me, but it does absolutely nothing to you. If I was to say there was something about you that I don't like or that I hate, you would continue to go on about your business, not even knowing anything about either what I said or even care about what it is I said. You understand what I mean. You know, you hate someone for something they did to you and you see them and then all those bad feelings start to come up with inside of you. And that person's just going on about their business. And yet your hatred is burning on the inside of you. But that's not God's hatred. See, God's hatred is a holy, righteous hatred. It is a hatred that must be expressed and felt by the objects of his wrath. And that's what makes this passage so amazing to me. The holy God should destroy the nation of Israel. He should destroy the children right there. And look at the part of the verse that I skipped over. He says, when you're in the land of your enemies. See, God tells them this before they're even driven into the land of their enemy. Not only are they not in the land of the enemy, he actually tells them this before they even reach the promised land. God has already told them, I'm going to send you to the promised land. When you're there, you're going to disobey me and I'm going to drive you into the land of your enemy because you haven't done what I said. And when you're there, I'm still not going to cast you out. Amen. I'm not going to hate you and I'm not going to destroy you. I'm still amazed by God's grace. Amen. God, the holy God, who does exactly what he says he's going to do, tells them before any of this happens exactly how it's going to play out. That's sovereignty, brothers and sisters. I can't read that any other way. That is sovereignty. And while they're in that captivity in another land, he's still not going to cast them away or destroy him. Now I got to say this again. I know I keep saying it, but that's such good news to me. That is such good news to me. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't always go the way God has told me to go. And yet he tells me, I won't destroy you. Not only will I not destroy you, I won't cast you away. And I will not hate you. Yet for all that, I will not cast them away, neither will I hate them or utterly destroy them. And you know what? What makes this even more amazing is because now we all know the whole story. Mm-hmm. We know the story at its completion. We know this nation kept continuing to not do according to God's law. Amen. And yet he still calls them his people. He still calls them his children. He still keeps making a way for them. He still keeps providing for them. He still keeps providing a way. And ultimately, he still provides the Savior he has promised them. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who has borne all our sins on the cross. And that's why he cannot leave us. His son paid the price so that we could have complete and ever and have a complete and everlasting relationship with the Lord himself. Our sins have been put out of the way. There is nothing now standing between God and us. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm not giving you anything you guys haven't already talked about. But I think this truth is so great, so worthy of telling and reading it again. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Since we know the end of the story, let's read the end of the story. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, down through 15 reads, "For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." See, brothers and sisters, God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has taken the very thing that would condemn us, the law and all those sins that went with it. He has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross of Jesus Christ. We must still get amazed at his grace. Now, I have to say this, too, because it's important that I put this out since I am on the Internet. There may be some who are listening, and I've been accused of this. I've actually preached this message and been accused of being an antinomian. That is one who doesn't believe in any law, that you can just do whatever and it's all under the blood. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe that. I believe a right understanding of God's grace will cause you to live a better life. If you honestly and truly have been given God's Holy Spirit, and you recognize that the Holy Sovereign God has made a way that you can be made right with him, that will cause you to live a better life. I don't believe in taking advantage of God's grace. Elder Ward has a little joke he plays with Mrs. Witherspoon, and she's another one of my friends from Buffalo, New York. He every time he sees her, he runs up to her and he says, "You know, I need a little money." And she'll reach in her purse and she'll pull out $20. And Elder Ward will say, no, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. And Elder makes this point. He says, "You know what? I could really take advantage of her because I know she'll give it to me." Brothers and sisters, we can't take advantage of God's grace and his forgiveness because we know he'll give it to us. But let's not take advantage of that. Let's live a life worthy of the calling in which we have been called, a life pleasing unto him. When I think about he did that for me, that makes me want to live better. And I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but I was with some of you guys last night, and I found out one of the most unbelievable things. I found about a couple who opened their home to a woman who had many children. And I thought, that's what Christianity is all about. That's somebody who understands this is what God did for me, How can I not do this for others? That's God's grace. That's not taking advantage of God's grace. That's living a life pleasing to God because you understand his grace. See, a true understanding of grace causes you to want to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. You know what? And today, if you are here and you feel that God can't love you, and there may be some here who feel that way, that God can't. You know, Marlon, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what it is I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've heard. You don't know what it is I've done. You know what I would say to you? You know what? You're right. I don't know what you've done. But I know what he's done.
Amen. Amen.
I believe, and I want you to believe, that he has paid the price for your sins, that God has raised him up from the dead, and now he is seating on the right hand of God, making intercessions for you. Throw your entire weight. Throw everything that you have. We learned in Chattanooga this week. Throw your will, your emotions, your feelings. Throw everything on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. That relationship can never be broken. God says, I will not cast them away. But you know what? There's more. Just when you think you're done shouting, and believe me, I did a lot of shouting with this verse. Just when you think you're done shouting, he gives us something else to shout about. He says, not only will I not leave them, nor hate them, nor destroy them, but he says, I won't break my covenant with them. Amen. God's faithfulness to himself. Now, I know you guys here. See, that's why I love coming here, because I know all you guys are such Bible scholars. You guys are such Bible scholars. You have such a fantastic teacher. I know you guys are such Bible scholars. But to understand when God says that he won't break it, you have to understand what a covenant is. See, when two parties wanted to make an agreement with each other, what they would do is they would take an animal, a bull or a goat or a cow or some type of animal, and they would cut that animal in half, and they would split them, and, you know, the blood would be on the ground, and the two parties that were making the agreement would walk through those two pieces. And what they really were saying is that if I don't keep my end of the bargain, you can do to me what we just did to these animals. Understand that. You can do to me what we just did to these animals. Now, again, God has already told them in this earlier part of the verse, you're going to break the covenant. You're going to do it. You're going to be disobedient and you're going to break the covenant. But he says, you know what? I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain. I'm still going to be your God. I'm still going to provide for you. Even though you've done this, and even though I must send you away, I'm still going to hold up my end of the bargain. You know, back in Genesis 12, when God made that covenant with Abraham, it's interesting that when God makes the covenant with Abraham, he gets Abraham, he has Abraham cut the pieces of the animal in half, and then he puts Abraham to sleep. God is the one who walks through the two pieces of those animals. God says, you know what? Not only am I going to hold up my end, but you know what, Abraham? I'm going to hold up your end as well.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
I'm still amazed by God's grace. God himself walks through the pieces of those animals. And whenever you get an opportunity, please, I'm sure you guys have gone. I know you guys just went through Genesis, so I'm sure you saw that. But that is a very, very beautiful picture of what our God has done for us. He says, I'm going to keep the covenant with them. And brothers and sisters, if the God who kept that covenant is the same God who has initiated the covenant of salvation by grace, and that God doesn't change, we can have great hope this morning.
Yes, sir.
That he will not break his covenant that he has made with himself.
Yes, sir.
So we are saved and we will remain saved based on the blood of Jesus Christ. That covenant was cut with the very blood of God himself. And that blood will never lose its power.
Thank you, Jesus.
That should give us hope this morning, brothers and sisters. That should cause us to, again, to want to live a life that is pleasing unto our God. Mm-hmm. But don't get too happy just yet. There is more. And I said, okay, Lord, you just got me shouting too much. There can't be any more. There can't be any more to this. Yet he says at the end of that verse, for I am the Lord, their God. So now we know our relationship can never be broken. And our relationship with him is eternal because he's eternal and he'll always be there for us. And we've seen that because he's faithful to himself, that he cannot lie. So he's always going to hold up his end of the bargain, even when we don't. And those things are enough for me to feast on for all of eternity. But I'm still amazed at his grace because of who it is that did this for me. See, he says in the last part of the text, for I am the Lord their God. See, that word for there connects everything that has been said previously. See, he said, the reason you will have this relationship with me is because I am God. And the reason that this covenant will not be broken is because I am the Lord, your God. And notice he keeps making it personal when he says, I am their God. The covenant keeping God is our God. The one who will never leave us nor forsake us is our God. The one who says, I am that I am, he is our God. The one who created all things, he is our God. The one who said, let, and everything came into existence, that one is our God. The one who says that Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is our God. The one who wrote down names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That God is our God. The one who chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's my God. The one who sent his son to die a death that I was due. That's my God. The one who raised that very Christ from the dead with that type of power, that God is my God. See, that is really the culmination of what this Christianity is really all about, is that he is our God and we are his people. I'm amazed at his grace, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Y'all.
You guys. When in Rome, do as the Romans. God, he is my God. Jehovah is my God. He's not only my God, he's my Father. I can call on him in the middle of the night. And he'll come see about me. The very God from all of eternity is now my God and my Father. That's what makes it so amazing, is because that God is my God and he's my Father. And yet I know me. And you know what? He knows me. And that didn't stop him from loving me. You know, there's so much more I would love to say, but there's one other person I want to mention who's amazed at God's grace. And it's the Apostle John. And listen to what he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Actually, I'll just read verse 1. He says, and this is a man who walked with Jesus. He writes, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? That we should be called the sons of God. I'm amazed at his grace. I'm thankful for his grace toward me. My favorite, one of my favorite, well, you know what? I'll be honest, it's my wife's favorite. So that makes it my favorite, right?
Yeah.
My wife's favorite scripture in all of the Bible, the verse in which she believed she was saved, reads, "For yet when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. Brothers and sisters, I am still amazed at his grace. Amen.
Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Grace Christian Assembly, we thank you for listening to this week's Salvation by Grace message. Remember to visit us on the internet at www.salvationbygrace.org. And we invite you to join us next time when we gather around the Word and study the sovereign grace of God.